All right, are we live? 3, 2, 1. All right, praise the Lord. Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Grace Point Online. This is Pastor Brad Kittle. I've got some of my friends here with me tonight, and looking forward to getting in the Word. I thought I would continue along the theme of divine healing that Charlie and Sandy Conard had been teaching. I don't know why divine healing tends to be or has been a controversial topic in the church. I think sometimes that maybe we don't see enough results or something, or you know, you pray for people and you don't see what you want to see, and so people get frustrated, discouraged, or give up in that area. But the Word of God is clear about healing, and there's no confusion in it. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even back as far as Exodus 15, 26, the Lord revealed himself. One of his covenantal names was, I am the Lord that healeth thee, or I am Yahweh Rapha or Raphika. I am the Lord Jehovah, your healer. And in the Old Testament, he continuously revealed himself as a healer. And of course, they were under law, and he said, if you obeyed me and you did what I commanded, none of the curses would come on you. And he said, if you obeyed me and did what I said, you know, there'd be healing for you, etc. But we also know that there was healing under grace in the Old Testament. You've seen God had mercy on people. I think of one thing right off the top of my head was when the people complained and they were all being snake bit. Remember that? And then the Lord told Moses to throw a tree or a wood into the water or whatever. That was when they complained. This time he had Moses lift up a pole and he had snakes on it. I'm sorry. And he said, anybody that would look at that pole and look at that snake, they would be healed. Well, that was grace. They weren't obeying Moses' law. He made provision for him by grace. They looked at the pole and that was symbolic of Jesus Christ being on a pole, on a tree. And if you look to Christ, you can be healed. And it's even quoted in the Gospel of John. It's healed eternally. We receive eternal life. And out of that eternal life springs actually physical healing, if you can believe it. So I don't think it's controversial as far as the Bible goes. I know how theologians try to handle it or they reason through it. But all through, from the very beginning until the very end, even in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about the leaves on the trees being for the healing of the nations. It's like healing is a constant theme. And that is, healing is the nature of God. It's part of his nature. And he never changes. So in the book of Acts, turn to the book of Acts, just chapter 1. And I'm going to try to just kind of march through. I got different ideas to go through. And you can never get through a topic like this in one session. I asked Charlie to give his best on it, and I asked Sandy to give her best on it, and we'll probably come back and do some more on it. But you could just dig and dig into this area. I think it's important. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Luke is the writer here. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began, I like that word, Evelyn, began. He began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So it says everything that Jesus began to do and teach, he's not done. Jesus is still doing and he's still teaching. And he's still doing. And of course, he was doing it through his followers in the book of Acts. And now he's doing it through us. Charlie, we know the verse in John 14:12, where Jesus said, anyone that believes on me. He didn't say my apostles. He didn't say my current disciples. He said, anyone that believes on me, the works that I do, you will do also. Tracy, and greater works than these you'll do because I'm going to the Father. Tracy, he didn't put a caveat on that. He didn't say just to you guys, just to men, not women, just men. He put no caveats on. In other words, it's for everybody. If you believe on him, that you will do the works that he did and greater works than these. Well, what kind of works did Jesus do? So I got a lot of scripture. I don't know how this is all going to work out. But flip over to Matthew chapter 4. And we'll read verse 23. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, preaching in their churches, the synagogues. He was teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Is there still good news of the kingdom right now? Last Charlie checked, he said there is. In fact, the last chapter in the book of Acts, it says Paul was preaching the kingdom of God. Amen. Last chapter in the book of Acts, the end of church history recorded, you know, in the canon, Paul was preaching the kingdom of God. He never stopped preaching the kingdom of God. So Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God, the good news about the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and that's a Gentile area, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him as a result of that. So if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you will see that Jesus announced the kingdom, then he demonstrated it. He began to teach, and then he did. And I won't go into it because it's not my purpose tonight, but if you go to Matthew 10, you know, he commissions his disciples to do the same thing that he did. Does the same thing in the book of Luke. He commissions his disciples, and he commissions them to do what he did. He sends them out to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. In fact, they came back in Luke 19 and said, hey, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And I have a question for the Christian skeptical. Is the name of Jesus still valid? They were subject to them how? In the name. Does the church still have the name of Jesus? I mean, it's obvious we do, right? The Word of God tells us that we have the name of Jesus. You read the book of Acts, and at the beginning it says they got baptized in the name. You know, they used the name to heal people, and they spoke in the name of Jesus. So we still have the name of Jesus. We still have that authority in Christ, okay? So he sent them out. Now flip over. We're going to cover a lot of ground. As I said, I don't normally like to bounce scripture to scripture like I'm going to do tonight, but I just want to lay a foundation. Maybe we'll come back to it some more and dig in. So in the book of Mark, in the Great Commission in the book of Mark, at the end, Jesus is sending out his people again. And he tells them in chapter 16, verse 15, he says, go into all the world, same thing they've been doing. Same thing he told them in Matthew. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. In my name. We still got the name. These signs will follow the apostles? No. Not only. These signs will follow those that believe in my name. He says, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them, and they will place their hands on sick people, and they will recover, or they will be healed. They'll get well. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many in here in this room have ever laid your hands on a sick person and they got well? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 out of 8. And the other one's coming, right? We'll be right behind. We've actually laid hands on. I've had some dramatic healings. And I won't ask the question I sometimes ask. How many has ever laid hands on somebody and they didn't get well? We won't. Usually our hands all go up there too. But we have seen these things here at Grace Point and in our individual lives. We still have the name of Jesus. Now, I like this verse at the end. It says, the disciples, not the apostles, the followers of Jesus, went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. There were signs that followed. So I really do believe that we have to preach the full gospel if we're going to see the signs. You know, if now think about this. If you think I'm wrong, you can tell me. But if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? If you never preach healing, you think anybody's going to get healed in your congregation? If you never preach healing, do you think anybody's going to get healed in your congregation? Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you never preach it and teach it, I mean, God can do what he wants to do. I mean, I'm not saying that can't happen. But even historically, if you don't preach it, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You have to preach the gospel. You've got to preach the good news. Faith brings, God uses the word of God, whether it's preached or written. He brings the word of God to produce faith in our heart. So we have to preach healing. And I think we need to do it more here. And although we do it quite a bit in Sunday school and Wednesday nights, and we tap on it on Sunday sometimes. But if you want to get those results, you have to preach the word of God. So it says in Mark, it says, he confirmed the word. He confirmed the word. Let me give you an example. And Jeff, pay attention. This is in Acts 14. Think about this. I'm trying to stimulate some thinking here with us tonight. In chapter 14 of Acts, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the synagogue. To the Jew first. And also to the Gentile. That's what they always did. They always went to the Jew first, then the Gentile. There they spoke effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believe, but the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned the minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. Isn't that amazing? The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some sided with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and they fled to Laconium, a city in Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding county, where they continued to what? Preach the gospel. Now, the word of God's grace, which is the gospel, salvation by the grace of God through faith, said enabled them to do miraculous signs and wonders. Okay? It was the word of God's grace. You go on. And in Lystra, there was a man that sat. He was crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and never walked. Listen to this. He listened to Paul as he preached. What was Paul preaching? What does it say up in verse, what is that? The verse above, I think it's verse 7. What does it say he preached? He preached the gospel. So he was listening to Paul preach the gospel. All right. When he listened to Paul as he was speaking, Paul looked directly at him and perceived, that's a spiritual attribute of spiritual operation. Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed, and he called out and said, "Stand up on your feet." And that man jumped up and began to walk. Now, I want you to see this. I got to stand up to talk about this one. Okay, so Paul's preaching. Jeff, what's he preaching? The guy had faith to be healed. So what did Paul have to preach? He had to preach healing. You wouldn't have faith to be healed. How would the man know he could be healed when Paul was preaching the gospel if Paul didn't mention somewhere in his message Paul was preaching the gospel about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father with all authority and all dominion and all power? He was preaching about who Jesus was and what he began to do and what he taught, how he died on a cross, was raised from the dead, and was seated in a place of authority. And as he preached the gospel, there is no doubt that Paul had to preach divine healing to the man, that Jesus provided healing because the man had faith in it. And so when Paul looked at him, he perceived, like, Charlie, I guess when you saw Chris, you perceived he was ready to get saved. Because you just called him up here, right? Like, boom, get up here, you know? Well, that was something spiritual. You didn't do it to everybody in the congregation, did you? You looked at one person, and something was going on in your heart, and you said, you get up here, right? There was a perception going on. And Paul looked at that man, and Paul discerned or perceived. I get that all the time, but I had it today when I was at Planet Fitness working on my abs, Jeff. And there's a guy on the little ab machine, and I perceived I was supposed to talk to him. And I actually had a word of knowledge for him. And I said, you're a dog guy. He wound up being a guy that adopted dogs. He had four dogs. He went down, he adopted them and saved them, and we had a good conversation. I said, you're a dog. And he said, yeah, I am. It was a good conversation. But I had just a perception. Well, I'd rather have the one that says, perceive that you have faith to be healed. So when Paul did that, Paul spoke in a loud voice. Why do you reckon Paul spoke in a loud voice? And it didn't say he screamed and shouted for a half hour, did it, Jeff? Why do you think he spoke in a loud voice?
Command.
It's command. He was being authoritative, like your dad saying, get in here. Smith Wigglesworth tells, now you don't have to scream and shout. Did he scream and shout for a half hour? Did he run around the room? Well, he just gave him a command with a loud voice. Smith Wigglesworth tells the story. He was getting on a bus and a woman was talking to her dog, and her dog kept running out in front of the bus, and she kept saying, Fifi, come here. Fifi, come here. Come here. And the dog just completely ignored her, didn't do anything. She kept saying, Fifi, come here. And so finally, she, you know, thought her dog was going to be in trouble. She stomped her foot and said, Fifi, come here. And the dog came around and ran right back to her. And Smith Wigglesworth turned to her and said, that's exactly how you have to talk to the devil. You got to tell him, okay? You don't play with it. You don't mess around. That's what Paul did, because Paul had faith. This man had faith. And the guy got up and walked around, and he was healed because he heard the gospel. No doubt in my heart that's what that man, well, it says he preached the gospel. So we know that's what he was listening to, the gospel. So one of the things about Paul was a man of God. And Paul did have an anointing. I believe this. I believe that there is covenantal healing, okay? Any person can receive from God whatever Jesus provided. There's no doubt about it. But not everybody is gifted the same. And not everybody walks in the same authority and power. You have authority in your life and in your realm. You can walk in it. But there are people that pray, seek God, and are gifted. And Paul was one of those. In fact, if you read, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, he said, the signs of an apostle were in my life. And he told you what the signs of an apostle were. That's miracles, wonders, signs. He said, these things were in my life. And you see that in the scriptures with, you know, Peter and Paul and the early disciples. There were signs of apostles. They did wonders and miracles. They weren't the only ones that did them. I'll get into that. But there are signs, and God uses those to win people to Christ. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't do it to heal people. He does. But he also uses that so people will believe. In other words, it's a demonstration of Jesus' resurrection. Can you go with that? Here, let me show you what I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 15, so when men go out and preach the gospel and they do miracles and signs, it is a call marker to God that Jesus is risen from the dead, that Jesus has authority, and these people are out demonstrating. Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 17, he said, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and what? Evelyn, what did Acts chapter 1 verse 1 say? All that Jesus began to say and do. Here Paul says, all that I have said and done by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way about Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed what? the gospel of Christ. I fully proclaimed it. It has been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ has not been made known, so I would not build upon another man's foundation. He says, by the power of signs and miracles, by the power of the Spirit, the demonstration of the Spirit. What did he do? He proclaimed the gospel. He proclaimed the gospel and he demonstrated the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 18 through 20, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not just merely words, but there's power in the kingdom of God. It's not just words. You can demonstrate the Spirit. Flip over to Hebrews. So God does use the gospel as a calling card to confirm that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He does do that. That is a part of the gospel. When a man, it happens, a lot of evangelists have these type of gifts where they go out, proclaim the gospel, miracles are done, Jesus is Lord, and people get saved. But one of the reasons I am so interested in divine healing and miracles and signs, I don't care to be famous or somebody else. I want to see people come to Christ. I want to see the gospel confirmed. I want to see the message go out in power so people know that Jesus rose from the dead and they'll serve Jesus. It's a demonstration of Jesus' resurrection. In Hebrews, let's see, where's this at, Lord? I wrote it down. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. What we have what? Heard. So that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation was first announced by who? The Lord. All that he what? Began to say and do. It was first announced. This is a confirmation scripture here. It was first announced by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it. How? By signs, wonders, various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now, are gifts graces? The gifts of the Spirit, are they graces? Yeah, they're graces. Actually, the word gift, the charismas, it means like a grace. It's a charisma. It's a gift of a charisma. A gift is a gift of grace. These people are out announcing the gospel, and God is giving out gifts and charisma. I think, Jeff, that's a little different than if I'm sitting here or Evelyn or somebody, we're up here teaching divine healing. Because when we're teaching divine healing, I'm speaking the word of God, I want to put faith in you to believe the word so you act on it. Your guys like Andrew Womack do that. They're always preaching. They seldom get out and like an evangelist like Kalinda when we were there, like Dan Kalinda. He's an evangelist. Remember that video? Dan is just announcing the gospel and there's a blind guy as far back in the field. Dan never saw him. It was a charisma, you know, and there are guys that, and all the way from the back, a blind guy gets his sight, comes up, and he serves God, and he testifies to the truth of the gospel, and all these people see it, and people get saved. That's a little different than Andrew Womack or someone teaching healing, and then you believe in it. You put your faith in what Jesus did for you, and you believe, right? That's a little different. That's not necessarily a charisma. That's just you receiving the word of God and believing it. Does that make sense? It's a little different, and you'll see this throughout. Flip over to Acts 10, and I'm going to hit Acts a little bit. Am I doing too many scriptures tonight, guys?
No.
Good, Jeff. Normally, I'm like, oh, man, I didn't give enough scripture. And I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Who anointed him? Well, I thought Jesus was God. Why did God anoint him? Huh? He did with the Holy Spirit because Jesus laid down his rights and privileges as God. Philippians 2 verses 1 through 10. Okay, he became a man. And he was anointed by the Holy Spirit under obedience. He was always divine, always. Never say that Brad Kittle said Jesus wasn't divine. He was the Son of God always. He had the nature of God. But he laid down his rights and privileges. He was anointed. Look, read this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good, healing all that were under the power of the devil or who were oppressed by the devil. Why? 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 Because God was with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus humbled himself. That's why you read the book of John. It's very clear. He says, I don't do anything except what the Father tells me to do. He's under obedience. He's not operating independently. He says, I hear and I do. I see and I do. I do what my Father. He is under the obedience, just like we would be under the obedience. And because he's under that obedience, that anointing is on him. The word says without measure, and there are charismas flowing out of Jesus like crazy through the power of the Holy Spirit anointed. Now, you know, this is true because Jesus said you could do it too, right? So we can be, can we be anointed by the Holy Spirit? Yes, we can. We sure can. Okay. So let's just flip back a couple chapters and I'll show you. Now, we know that some people say, well, you know, miracles died out with the apostles, which is absolute. There's no scripture that says that. Not one. Not one says that. Not one verse in the Bible says that. So where do men get that from? Not one verse says, Jesus said, those that believe on me, they'll do greater works. Jesus said, these signs will follow believers. And up through the end of the book of Acts, all this stuff is still going on. Where do preachers get this from, that they quit? It's just their theology. It's not in the Word. There's not one verse in the Bible that says it. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His nature in the Old Testament was healing. His nature today is healing. His nature then was healing. What right do you have to say otherwise? You have no right to say otherwise. You ought just, if you don't know, I say this humbly, we ought to just be quiet. If we don't know, we ought to just be quiet and preach on something else. Anyway, Acts chapter 6, verse 8, it's really powerful. Stephen was called to be a deacon, which is just a minister or a servant, okay? He's just a servant. But God had other plans for Stephen. You know, when you serve, the Bible says if you're not faithful in what belongs to another man, you won't be faithful in what's yours. Isn't that powerful? If you're not faithful in another man, I've always believed, Charlie, when I was at other churches, like when there was a pastor or something, I always believed, like, I'm serving that guy's vision. And I didn't always get it right. I wasn't always good at it. But a lot of times people, they want to do this, and they want to do that, and they want to do this. I'll tell you, as a pastor, your pastor and the leaders in the church, they need you to get behind them instead of doing 1,000 things, you know. And if they're not doing enough, then egg them on and say, we need to do more. Encourage them. But because it says if you're not faithful in what belongs to somebody else, you'll never be faithful in your own ministry. If I am not humble enough to serve you in your ministry and say, Charlie, what do you need for me to do? How can I help you in your ministry? How could I ever be faithful in my own? I wouldn't be, right? That's what Jesus said. If you're not faithful in what belongs to somebody else, you'll never be faithful in what belongs. So there is a testing and proving of people in ministry. I'm learning this more and more. People get tested and proven whether they're going to be faithful to serve where they're called or whether they just ping off everywhere and do their own thing. Stephen was faithful. He was a deacon. He was a servant. And because he did it well, obviously, we're going to see he did miracles. Jeff, even in the book of Timothy, that's why I believe Paul says in Timothy, those that use the office of deacon well have great power in the faith. Said they have great faith. Those that use the office of deacon well, it'll build strong faith. I can't get the exact quote, but he says they really build up their faith, those that use it well. And I think he says that because of Stephen and Philip. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's what? God's. Remember how we just read in Acts 10:38, Jesus was anointed by God. God was with Jesus. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. He got opposition because of it. That's why it goes on to tell you in the story. Stephen was a deacon. He was a minister. He was a servant. He was waiting on tables. God anointed him. God was with him. And because God was with him, he did great signs and wonders. Okay, flip over to Acts chapter 8, verse 4. It says, those who had been scattered preached what? What did they preach, Charlie? They preached the word wherever they went. And Philip went to that. You have to preach the word. He says, Philip went down to the city in Samaria and preached Christ there. He proclaimed, NIV, he proclaimed who? Christ. Jeff Houck, what happened when he proclaimed Christ? Yep. Says when the crowds, it draws a crowd, heard Philip and they saw, they heard him and they saw him. He began to say and do. And they saw the miraculous signs he did. They all paid close attention to what he said. I marked that down. It says when they saw what he was doing, they all paid close attention. That is one reason why God wants to get your attention. If something's a sign, what's a sign? What is a sign? Yeah, it's pointing somewhere. Look here. It's a sign. Like, go right. Go left. This is a sign. It's a sign, and it's pointing to Jesus. It gets your attention. And he said that the demons were shrieking, and they came out of many, and paralytics and crippled people were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Wherever you have real revival, there's great joy in the city. And giving your life to Jesus and really being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Both Stephen and Philip were servants. That's really what the word deacon means. They were waiting on tables. And they were faithful in their ministry. The word says they were full of faith and the Holy Ghost, even when they were serving tables. But God had other plans for them. And they went out and preached the gospel. Now, what's interesting about Philip, he had this great evangelistic crusade. Then he turns right around and he becomes an individual soul winner. He goes and talks to one person. That's humility, isn't it? He had great crusades, great evangelism, preached to hundreds, cities coming to the Lord, and then God sends him to one man. Isn't that something? It's humility. He said, I preached to thousands, I can preach to one. And then he leads the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. All right, don't want to miss anything. I mean, Acts 5:12 and Acts 2:43 talks about the apostles doing wonders and signs and people being saved. And that is a huge reason. It's a charisma. It's a grace. And it's a huge reason. And it confirms the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is a big, powerful reason why God uses signs, miracles, and wonders. I'm not saying that God doesn't want to heal people because he just wants to heal them. He does, but he uses that powerfully. All right, I want to flip over to John 3:2, and I want to make a final point here, and then we'll wrap it up. You guys get enough? There's more. There's definitely more. All right. Okay. I love this statement. I'll just start with verse 1 in John chapter 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Acts 10:38 says God was with him. Okay? God was with Peter when Peter's shadow, when Peter was walking down the street and people just got into the shadow of Peter. You think that was Peter that was healing them? Now they were getting into the shadow. There was an anointing coming off of Peter. God anointed Peter with the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit is in the church today. Amen. He He's in every believer. I don't believe you, and I'm not right about everything, but I don't believe everybody walks in that same amount of authority. You have authority in your life, but I do believe it's something that any person could press into. You know, the word says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, every person in this world has as much of God as they want. The amount of God that you got is the amount that you want. Because God doesn't show favorites. He doesn't show favorites. If a man is doing certain things, I'm not saying he paid a price like he suffered or did something. You know, it is by grace, but you have to press into it. If you didn't, everybody would be doing it. There's always, if someone's doing something, he pressed past fear. He pressed past something by faith, believing the word of God. He stepped into something. He prayed. He pressed until he got what God said. I remember the first time I tried to soul win, I scared. My knees were knocking. I've told this story before. There were two 12-year-old boys. I was like 25 or something, and I was giving them a track, and my knees were knocking, just giving these two young boys a track. You know, that's how I started right there. That was the first time I believe I witnessed for Jesus. Knees knocking. Would you guys take this track? You know, and I had the Holy Ghost. Amen. What was wrong with me? But God just kept teaching me and giving me confidence, took away my fear. Now, this may be the last thing that I read or teach, but I did earlier. I had my Bible app and I looked up God was with him. I want you to see this. Is God with you? Okay, look at this. And the patriarchs were moved with envy and they sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. 2 Samuel 5:10. And David went on and grew great. He grew what? He grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. And the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Now, this one has Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. 1 Samuel 8:14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Why, Charlie? And the Lord was with him. 1 Chronicles 11:9. So David waxed what? Greater and greater. You know, when God's with you, you wax greater and greater. You may get pounded down like in a square hole, but God is going to make you great. Amen. It says David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Saul was afraid of David. Why was he afraid of David? Because the Lord was with him. And he was departed from Saul. I didn't look at you for that, Pam. I just, oh boy. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, this is 1 Chronicles 9:20, was ruler over them in time past, and the Lord was with him. And I could just go on and on and on in this. It just says one person after another or one situation. It says God was with him. Second Chronicles 15:9. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. These men were covenant men. You could go on. You could go on and read other scriptures. There were great men in the Old Testament, men of renown. And by faith, God was with them. Hey, is God with you? Is God with you? And he is with every believer. Jesus said, I'll never fail you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But there's a difference between knowing kind of just, you know, I'll just say by faith that God's with you and really knowing that God is with you, expecting God to talk to you, expecting God to intervene. I think, Evelyn, that really is the rest of faith. When you really come to the place where you just know God's with you, you're like, no matter what happens, it's like, okay, God, you believe. Because you believe the gospel, it doesn't mean you're perfect, that you've done everything right. We know that's not true in the scriptures. It just means you come to a place that you are truly putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You're putting your faith in the gospel. You're believing it, and you know God is with you. It brings you to rest. And when you come to that place of rest, then the Holy Spirit can speak to you and have you do things. Well, what's that scripture in Daniel? Maybe, Jeff, you can look it up. It says, those that are strong will be wise and do. Yeah, where's that at, Charlie? And they, those that know their God, those that know their God, they said they'll be strong and they will do exploits. Who? Those that know their God. Those that put their trust in God. I believe it's for people that really sell out, you know, really sell, really believe in God. Like we're putting our faith in the Lord. These guys in the Bible, they followed God, right? They were judges, they were kings, they were at war, they were in battle, or they were preaching the gospel and being persecuted for it, but they followed God and they believed the Lord. And when he spoke, they had confidence and they spoke the gospel because they followed Jesus. In fact, Daniel 11:32, great scripture. Those that know their God. Paul prays in the book of Colossians, he says, I pray that you will increase in the knowledge of God. Everybody in this room, we all are out there in YouTube land, you have the ability, you have the opportunity, you have the calling to increase in the knowledge of God. Paul prayed, I pray that you will increase in the knowledge of God. Amen? No matter where you're at. And I always say, like, start where you're at. That's where I'm at. I'm not as far as I should be or want to be, but I am starting where I'm at. And I got me, I told Charlie when I came in, we have some opportunities here to pray for the sick and do some other things. It's coming at us. We need to put things behind us. We need to keep pressing in. We need to be intimate with the Lord, know him, learn his voice, and learn to step out on what he's telling us. Then, you know, that is how miracles happen. They don't happen because you're so smart. I would say that our intelligence gets in the way of God's working. God doesn't need your intelligence. He doesn't even care how you dice up the Bible and how you quote it and how you memorize it. What he wants to know is when he speaks to you, are you going to obey him? When he says, hey, I need you to do this, I'm not talking about being under bondage and law. I'm talking about being in a loving relationship with the Lord, intimate, seeking him, receiving from the Holy Spirit, being in communication, and obeying the promptings of the Lord, what the Lord is telling you. I don't think that's a bondage. The Apostle John said his commandments are not grievous. It's when we try to do things out of some formalism or self-effort, it makes it hard. But when we're in loving relationship, you know, it's not hard to obey the Lord. So it comes out of intimacy with God, prayer, time in the Word, time with the Lord, and understanding his grace. You're saved free of charge. You're not working for your salvation. You're working from your salvation. You're working out of a knowledge of God. You out there can lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. When? When you believe it. When you believe the word, when you trust, when you know that the name of Jesus has authority. And there are times you definitely need an anointing. There are. There are situations. You know, you just need an anointing of God. A lot of the things I've seen, the most powerful things, there were people that were anointed. There was a reason why they were anointed. Amen? Amen. So look, here's my, the thrust of my teaching. God is with you. And he wants to be with you. But the word says when God's with you, you can do exploits. You can do these things. And I think we need to press into them. I also think we need to preach more and expect more from the Lord. Amen? We need to expect the Lord to move with signs and wonders. We need to expect the Lord to heal the sick when we announce the gospel. We need to expect it more and more. I know at Grace Point, and Charlie, we've been praying on Saturday nights, we've been praying, you know, Lord, we want signs and wonders. We want you to move, but we have to preach it too. Amen? We have to fully embrace it and believe it. Any questions out there? It's 7:47. I think I'm done. All right, I'm going to pray for you out there in TV land or YouTube land, and we'll call it a night. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The eternal gospel doesn't change. Lord, you've always been a healer. You've always been a deliverer. You've always been a savior from Genesis to Revelation. You're going to continue. I understand, Lord, there's more. Like, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. I know that we are already living in the powers of the age to come. We're actually living in the kingdom of God. We're actually pulling out of eternity right now. I understand we live in a fallen world. There's corruption. Our bodies are decaying. All these things that are true. But I also know your power is here, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for more understanding and more wisdom. Paul said he prayed that they would have a revelation of the power that was available to them. Father, I pray for us, and I'm asking in grace, God, Lord, humbly, that we would know the power that's available to us through the name of Jesus and through the gospel. I pray it in Jesus' name.